This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This is another podcast of the World Wide Wave on joy.org.au.
Surfing the globe, bringing you news, views, and current affairs for the LGBT community, this is the World Wide Wave.
This is World Wide Wave, Joy's international news and current affairs show, taking you around the globe, one country at a time. Tonight, you've got Lana, Ben, Damien and myself, Matt.
Thanks, Matt. Tonight we head to the Eastern European country, Poland, and we ask the questions, how important do you think the legal gains for LGBTI rights are if blatant homophobia and transphobia are expressed by government leaders? What is life like as a trans person? And how much thought would you give if you were going to change your name? To understand gay life in Poland, tonight we speak with Kylie Sipski, a trans woman, an electricity, an artist.
Worldwide Wrap, LGBT news from around the world, scanning the globe for stories for the diverse gay and lesbian communities, from Australia's Joy 94.9. This is the Worldwide Wrap.
Taking a look at news from around the world, across to Taiwan, first of all, where a new snail has been named after gay marriage.
Now, 10 points goes to the person who can actually say this name correctly. Who wants to go first?
It's one of those really long scientific names, isn't it? Have a go.
I'm going to go Agista diversifamilia.
And I'll just use snail. Researchers in Taiwan have basically come out in support of same-sex marriage by naming a snail after same-sex marriage.
So the name was named to reflect the diversity of sexual orientation in the animal kingdom.
And Taiwan is poised to become the first Asian nation to bring marriage equality to the fore, although there's a bit of opposition within the country. It's currently stalled within the Parliament's Judiciary Committee. So they hope that by doing this, it raises a bit of interest, a bit of talk. Hey, it's got us talking.
It does indeed.
In fact, it's got. I think we need some feedback from our listeners tonight as to let's raise the interest here in Australia. What Australian animal would you name gay marriage?
That's a good question. I'm trying to think of something witty, but I can't come up with
anything. I want something echidna because marriage is a bit prickly sometimes.
I want something flamboyant. Something. If we had a flamingo, if we had like an Australian flamingo, that would be pretty great.
Do we? I don't know. What about a koala bear? Because, you know, cuddly. There's got to be bears out there who would vote for that.
So talking about marriage equality has surged across the states with a momentum of 11 states legalising same-sex marriage in the past fortnight. Last week, the US Supreme Court refused to hear appeals from the lower house court decision striking down same-sex marriage bans in Indiana, Oklahoma, Utah, Virginia, Wisconsin and Alaska. Idaho, Nevada, Colorado, West Virginia and North Carolina joined that list too. The move paves the way for gay and lesbian couples in those states to go ahead and get married. There are now 30 states plus the District of Columbia where gay and lesbian people can get married.
And I think this is one of the fascinating outputs from the Obama administration, which has been incredibly gay-friendly, that even though it hasn't reached the federal level yet in terms of law, there's pending court cases with the Supreme Court there, but lots of states are already raising this issue. The parliament and the courts are fighting it out on a state level, and there's already great successes in a very short period of time.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Lots of parties and lots of cake.
And that's about half of America, right? Because they've only got about 50 states.
Yeah, it's the left bit and the right bit and the middle bit. It's still a little bit behind the plains, the periplains.
In the UK, an 81-year-old transgender woman has undergone a gender reassignment surgery.
81?
Now, that is the oldest person in the UK. Yeah. We don't know outside of the UK, but it's still noteworthy to note that, you know, this person has gone on to make that journey either way, regardless of age. It's a great signal to send to the rest of the community who have, you know, who might have reservations.
Yeah. She actually began 4 years ago, 4 year transition at the age of 77, and she says, "I thought my life as a woman would never be fully fulfilled at my age. I feel so much happier now." Good on her.
Yeah, no, absolutely good on her. Over to Kazakhstan now. The United States Embassy has condemned Kazakhstan for approving a bill which aims to outlaw gay propaganda. In June, the Parliament of Kazakhstan Human Rights Committee approved the bill banning the dissemination of information aimed at forming positive attitudes towards non-traditional sexual relations.
And in fact, if you go onto our website at joy.org.au, we've done a show on Kyrgyzstan and you can hear all about that issue.
In South Korea, the mayor of Seoul hopes that the country can be the first in Asia to actually introduce gay marriage.
So it's a bit of a battle between Korea and Taiwan.
Yeah, yep. Or South Korea.
Even China's a bit interested in Vietnam. So there's a bit of a race going on here. We could run a tally board.
Yeah. Who's going to go first?
Yeah. Other good news, Turkey gets new umbrella organisation for LGBTI rights. So LGBTI activists have banded together to form Turkey's first umbrella LGBTI organisation to fight homophobia. The organisation was created to ensure unity between LGBTI groups, websites and organisations in the Islamic country.
And finally to India, where an Indian lesbian film is creating some waves.
Yes.
The film is called Purple Skies. It's a feature documentary about lesbians, bisexuals and trans men. Has caused quite a stir.
Yeah, they say that the young lesbians and bisexuals in the film say that they're ready to fight stigma and discrimination. They say, "We will fight till we receive our rights and freedoms."
That's your Worldwide Wrap. Keep up with LGBT news from around the world throughout the week. Like us on Facebook, Worldwide Wave, or visit joy.org.au/worldwidewave.
This is Autumn Butter from LGBT Center of Mongolia, and I'm happy to be on Worldwide Wave.
Joy's International News and Current Affairs Show. Our guest tonight, talking Poland, is Kylie Supski. Welcome, Kylie.
Welcome, Kylie.
Dzień dobry, everyone. Hello.
Dzień dobry. I love that. Now, we've had a message in on the SMS from Blake at South Yarra. We put a call out to people, what animal would represent same-sex marriage here in Australia to help raise the profile and help cure Mr. Abbott's fear? Blake has suggested a cockatoo. Perhaps a little play on words there, Blake. Some in the studio perhaps didn't get it.
I'm going to be quiet about just over my head.
Taking you around the globe, one country at a time. This is your Fun Fast Facts.
This is our snapshot of Poland, where we're visiting Polska, officially the Republic of Poland, which is in Central Europe and a member of the European Union.
Poland is predominantly Catholic. However, until World War II, Poland was a religiously diverse society in which had substantial Jewish, Christian, Orthodox, Protestant and Roman Catholic groups which coexisted together. However, as a result of the Holocaust and post-World War II flight and expulsion of German and Ukrainian populations, Poland became overwhelmingly Roman Catholic.
Yeah, in 2007, 88% of the population belonged to the Catholic Church, overwhelmingly in favour of Catholic Church. Although the rates of religious observance are lower for Polish Catholics, Poland remains one of the most devoutly religious countries in the world.
And they brought a pope about as well, Pope John Paul from Poland.
Yes, they did. Interestingly, homosexuality in Poland was never criminalised.
Really?
That is true.
Hmm.
Yeah, so, and particularly...
But they confirmed it as being legal. So it wasn't illegal, but then they said, well, let's really make it not illegal in 1932.
Yeah, and Poland does recognise gender change.
In fact, Poland has a transgender politician, became a member of parliament in 2011, which is Anna Grodzka, is that right?
That's right, Anna Grodzka.
Yeah. What's really interesting about this is that although homosexuality was never criminalised and they do have a transgender member of parliament, a study reveals that Poles overwhelmingly oppose gay marriage and the adoption of children by gay couples. 80% of Poles oppose gay marriage. 93% of Poles oppose the adoption of children by gay couples.
In fact, a majority even oppose pride parades.
Yes.
There shall not be celebration and colour.
66% of Poles believe that gay people should not have the right to organise public demonstrations.
I'm not liking this study at all.
No. 69% of Poles believe that gay people should not have the right to show their way of life.
Indeed, Poland is ranked third at 83% in terms of the most number of homophobic comments of parliamentarians in the European Union.
Yeah.
Now, Kylie, you are nodding away. This is not a surprising fact to you. Well, is this something you've witnessed?
I am so glad that I was living in Australia now more than in Poland. So I consider myself more Australian than Polish. But yeah, I was just recently researching for this show and I couldn't believe some of the comments that they make about Anna Grodzka. Mm. I'm not going to repeat them then, but they were really outrageous.
Yeah, there's some very offensive comments made and undoubtedly under parliamentary privilege there, and hence, yeah, ranked third from the bottom, you'd have to say, in terms of...
Well, the third from the most, the third most...
Yeah, in a bad way. Yes. In a bad way.
Yes.
Yeah, we don't like that.
No, not at all. In fact, the least offensive comment that I could find was a comment by the leader of the Congress of the New Right Party, which is, we're under EU occupation. For me, blah, gays are the agents of foreign and hostile occupation forces. Therefore, burning symbols such as the rainbow is a righteous deed. And that was the least offensive comment that I could find of homophobic comments.
One of the local NGOs has taken them to task. The Helsinki Foundation for Human Rights sent a complaint to the Parliamentary Ethics Committee in 2014, pointing to these homophobic and racist incidents. The foundation received an answer that the Parliament had pretty much given up on the Ethics Committee.
Yeah. That they had a vote to discontinue it. So there is no transparency and accountability now.
And undoubtedly no ethics. We are going to explore all this and more in Poland with our guest, Kylie Supski.
Hello and goedenavond. This is Elko, listening in from the Netherlands on Worldwide Wave, the latest LGBT news and current affairs on joy.org.au.
Yes, it is your international news and current affairs show, Worldwide Wave, and tonight we've stopped off in Poland.
We have Kylie in the studio with us tonight, and Kylie is going to tell us all sorts of things. But first of all, Kylie, I want to ask you, tell us about Poland. You know, you were born there. You know, where were you born? Where did you grow up?
Dzień dobry. Hello to everyone again. It's Kylie Supski. Oh, I've actually found 2 days ago that I was born at the same time as Anna Grodzka in 1954 in a famous city of Wrocław where famous Grotowski come from.
So Anna is the first transgender parliamentarian in Poland, yeah?
That's right. I was just reading about her and she absolutely inspires me, although my parents don't really think the same way.
What? Tell us about your being a young person in Poland who's perhaps not fitting in with everybody else around. What was that like?
It was socialism. There was no one fitting there. It was an interesting life. And being LGBT at that time was basically non-existent. If you were feeling that you're different to anyone, you basically hidden that as deep as possible. There was no such a thing as coming out of a closet. And I've got a friend, I know that he's gay. He actually got married to hide the fact that he's gay to maintain his status.
Mm. Is the consequence of, is the risk of being out something that is a physical threat to you, or it's just something that you know you're not to do? There's an expectation.
It's an expectation. It's probably not as much as physical thread, but it's an expectation of your friends and a family. As you mentioned before, Poland is almost 90% Catholic, and expectations of Catholic Church of people are there is a man and a woman, and they have sex together and children, and anything else is against nature. It's a violation of nature.
What about underground communities? Were there communities that joined together and could support each other and were out with each other?
There was a lot of underground communities, but at that time, as it was socialism, we were busy, you know, conspiring and thinking how to get rid of communism. So there was a greater evil? So there was a greater evil, and we had so many agendas on our minds, and when the solidarity came, it was amazing. But it was the underground and political discussions that were taking our time. So I never really remember discussing issues like LGBT and...
Yeah. Tell us about the solidarity and when that happened. What did that look like in the streets?
So solidarity was United Workers Party, wasn't it?
It was, and it was led by Wałęsa. But truly, it was led by the underground, the intellectuals, the people. Wałęsa was only on the top as a person that could lead the rest. I'm actually really disappointed in Wałęsa. I've just heard that he said that gay people place in a parliament is behind the wall. So I don't know how the man who was fighting for the rights of everyone, for everyone to have their say and be the same, that he can say something like that now.
Yeah. Was there any early exposure to gay, queer lifestyles or people? Were there any influences or role models, or just did it not exist?
It was basically non-existent. I remember in school there was like warnings, you know, the person like that could abuse children. They are, you know, sick, and you should be really careful with them. So it was like a taboo subject.
Mm. So what brought you to Australia, Kylie?
And can you also tell us about the difference coming to Australia? How is it different to Poland?
We left Poland in 81. In 81, just before the military state was announced. And we became the political refugees. We went through Yugoslavia and came to Australia. Is Australia... we went to Perth. That was like the last city on our list. And Perth, that was 1981. It was such a still small town. It's a bit changed now, but they're still not really accepting. So I'm now in Melbourne and I don't really feel accepted either. I wouldn't go to Poland now. It would be probably much worse. But even here, people like me, they still looked and there is always this interrogating look and questioning look. I'm being called name here, like, are you infected? Are you normal? I probably won't go to Poland anymore because it could actually be a physical threat to me in Poland.
Have you been back to Poland since you left?
I've been a couple of times before.
Have you noticed any difference in terms of LGBTI rights?
They're much more open about it. I've seen the rainbow signs. But when you try to talk to people in Poland, they basically don't want to talk about it. They sort of take the position of a church. That position of a Catholic church changed a bit. They sort of accept LGBT people, but they don't want to talk about it. So if you want to try to if you try to talk about someone in Poland about LGBT issues, they just change the subject. They don't want to talk about it.
Yeah. And earlier, before when you were introduced, you kind of implied that your parents didn't really accept you.
They still don't. I was just talking. I had a phone call from my brother 3 days ago. They don't address me by my name anymore, and he was pleading with me to call my father. And I said, but I want to tell my father who I am now. And he said to me, you absolutely can't tell him. Your father is 91. If you tell him that, maybe he heard about it, but he's blocking that off. If you tell him, you're going to kill him. So I don't know what to do.
What would it mean to you to be able to... basically tell him?
It's like, imagine that you're not accepted by your family anymore. So whether it's my aunt and that I was so close always with, my stepmother, my father, my brother, my sister, they basically don't want to accept the fact that I'm a woman.
How do they treat you in that way? Does non-acceptance mean they don't communicate with you, or is there hostility, or do they just not mention?
So, like, it was my birthday in August, and they sent me an email, and there was no name in the email. They were just like writing wishes and not addressing me at all by my name. The last conversation, the longer conversation that I had with them, they called Anna Grodzka as a representative of Ivu, which meant that I'm basically like her. So I'm basically turned against God, and I'm representative of Ivu. And they absolutely don't want to change their minds. It makes me really sad, and being rejected by my own family. I basically have nothing else to go back to Poland.
Is there anybody in your family that has been supportive or even half supportive?
The younger generation, that's what I've noticed in Poland. They're so much more accepting and open, and so I've got a niece that is living in Berlin, and a cousin that is living in Norway, and they completely open. They call me Kylie, and they open to this idea. So I was trying to tell to my brother that his own daughter, it's fine with that, and she's accepting that, but they don't understand that.
Now, we're going to explore more issues about LGBT life and trans life especially.
Receive LGBT news from around the world throughout the week. Like World Wide Wave on Facebook now.
Hi, this is Janne, Mr. Gay Finland, and you are listening on the World Wide Wave on Joy 94.9.
The gayest station in the nation with Lana, Ben, Damien and Matt. And we have in the studio tonight Kylie, and she's talking with us tonight about Poland, her experience of growing up in Poland, what Poland's like, and her experiences in Australia.
Now, Kylie, we've been kind of lumping things together when we talk LGBT. You're a trans person. Are trans people treated particularly differently in Poland? Is it just more taboo than being gay or lesbian?
I sort of have the only experience that I've got with that. It's from the reading that I did recently about trans people and gay people in Poland. The gay people are sort of a more accepted. I'm not sure whether I've got anyone actually gay. I think I've got one cousin in a family that is gay. But they sort of accept it in a way. I suppose like gay people are absolutely accepted here, but trans people are still really questioned. In Poland, the trans person, I mean, taking what they say about Anna Grodzka and what I just said before, my parents said about her, that she's a representative of evil. I don't think that will happen for a long time, that trans people will be accepted in Poland.
You did say that Anna, you mentioned to us that Anna had expected more antagonism and more negativity towards her. Did that surprise you?
It surprised me, but I had this discussion once with my friend, that because she's got a position now, and people in Poland respect people with a position, that's probably one of the reasons why she doesn't get this like more abuse by being in a center of attention now, because she's got a position. People know that she's in a parliament, so people respect her and are sort of worrying about attacking her. It's sort of my friend was saying, like, if I dress really amazingly and go out, I get less harassed because people are, it's like my armor. So I think her being a politician, it's like her armor that protects her. But she was surprised herself when she was saying in an article with The Guardian that she expected to more, actually, more antagonism against her.
If you could see one change for LGBTI people in Poland, what would that change be?
I think as long as Catholic Church has got such a power over a culture and politics still in Poland and education, and that's sort of a remains of the communism, because in Poland during the communist or socialist, people were seeing church as a defendant of the culture, of Polish culture, and Polish church was against socialism, although they were sort of working on both sides. So as long as Poland is so Catholic, and if you take the views of Catholic Church on gay people or trans people, which are sort of a mellowing now, but still church, like I've used that in my poetry, there is statements from the CEO of Roman Catholic Church that saying that homosexuality destroys humanity. It's a Trojan horse to undermine people's experience. So if people listen in Poland to church and listen to their leaders in Rome stating things like that, it will be really difficult to shift people's perception to accept us, gay people, homosexual, trans people, all these names, labels.
You did sort of mention a hope, indeed a sort of a change in younger people. Do you think younger people maybe aren't as switched on to the church, or they're not going to church, or they're just not, they're less interested in the doctrine?
That's probably correct. But I've got young nieces which are between 20 and 30, and because of the religious education was removed now from the mainstream education, they don't get this influence, so they're more accepting. So my nieces, one of them living in Berlin, one cousin in Norway, they completely accepted me, and they call me my name, and they acknowledge that I'm a woman. But anyone after 30, and they still consider themselves young, they're still young, they still sort of, they're not as bad as the older generation. They accepting, but I don't think they will really accept me.
When you talked about your parents and your family and having that nameless conversation, and you talked then about, you know, calling you by your name and having that acceptance, tell us about your name changes. You really took the love of women singers to a new level. Take us through that evolution.
My name before was Sławek. My official name is Jan, which I never liked, so I've changed it when I was 10 to Sławek. So then I've changed it to Sławka, which is a, you know, in Polish, you've got actually the female and male version of nuns. So I've changed it to Sławka. And then I've ended up signing myself with Sławka, Chrissy and Kylie, because I both like Chrissy Amphlett and Kylie Minogue.
And Kylie won out in the end.
But Kylie went, of course. I mean, she's such an icon of Australian culture. Well, at least that's what I think. And it was really interesting because people, when I've changed to Sławka, they sort of didn't adopt that quickly. But as soon as I've changed it to Kylie, everyone at work calls me Kylie.
Just
and
say
they
Kylie,
just love
like,
it.
Like Minogue.
Yeah.
Poetry. How did you get into poetry?
I think I was building for that all my life, and I was always like consuming books and poetry and music. I started about 5 years ago. I think there was once this discussion about where the poetry comes from, happiness or misery. I think my poetry came from misery. Now it's changed dramatically after I've started to perform poetry. Because when you speak to people poetry, you want to speak about current affairs, about something that is happening in your presence, and it became much more social and even political, although like at the beginning I've written even a Poland non-political poem. And I really love spoken word.
And you performed at the AIDS 2014 conference?
That was absolutely amazing experience. I mean, imagine it's winter, really cold. It's really easy to use your voice.
That's today, isn't it?
Yeah, it was on a corner of Swanston and Collins Street. And I was performing two poems which are related to AIDS, and it was absolutely amazing experience for a performer to perform to the moving crowd where it's so difficult to trap people's attention, and you get even abused and stopped by people.
And last week even you won the Words Out, the LGBTI poetry competition, didn't you? Congratulations, Congratulations. Kylie.
Thank you. That was absolutely amazing. And thank you to Helsen Hyenas and Maeve and all of the other poets that took in this event.
We'll have to get you to record a poem. We can play it in one of our future shows. It has been a delight speaking with you tonight, Kylie. Thank you for stopping in and telling us about all things Poland and your story.
Thank you, Kylie.
Thanks so much. Kylie. Dziękuję bardzo.
Oh, I love it.
Want to hear more? Find out about LGBT life in over 100 countries. Download free podcasts of this show. Subscribe to iTunes or follow us on Twitter. Visit joy.org.au/worldwidewave.
Hola, mi nombre es Félix de Colombia. You are on World Wide Wave on Joy 94.9.
And a huge thank you to our guest tonight, Kylie Supski. You've got a thank you as well.
Oh, thank you to Anna Grodzka. You are absolute inspiration to all trans women in Australia, and Kylie.
We'll have to message her and send it across. To Barbara sitting in the studio, thanks for coming along. Blake has sent us an SMS.
Thank you to Brian, Scott, John, Sal, and all the other people that joined or interacted with us on Facebook in this last week, Worldwide Wave on Facebook.
And thanks to Gordon on the front desk, as always. Next week, the upcoming show will be on Austria.
We'll catch you next week on the Worldwide Wave.
Thank you for listening to the Worldwide Wave podcast. We're always looking for interested guests and news tips. You can email us at worldwidewave@joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.